This morning, we're in 1 Corinthians, continuing in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 7, going from 10 through 15, and then also verse 27, are pretty much the scriptures that I'm going to touch on, because divorce was one of the issues sent to Paul in a letter from Corinth. And this right here, this little set of verses, 7, 10 through 15, and 27, are those particular passages. And I'm going to read Paul's response out loud. But today I'm going to do something else with the direction of this sermon. We're going over to other passages in the Bible that have to do with divorce. And I want us to continue learning about proper use of Scripture. Remember I did this last week with the sermon within a sermon? Well, this time it's on a principle that I often mention, and it's really going to be strong in what we're going into this morning. Because I've found that many Christians do not realize the importance of this principle. And namely, Christians should not use the Mosaic law of the Old Covenant to direct their lives in the Spirit, meaning life in the New Covenant, life in Christ. And that means not using the Mosaic law for divorce. Now, I've found that this is not as evident as it would seem. So like last week, this will have lessons within a lesson, proper ways of interpreting Scripture being a very big one. You're going to get a lot of this, especially in 1 Corinthians. You're going to get some really good stuff here. So first, I'm going to read through this New Covenant passage in 7, 10 through 15 with verse 27. It's on divorce. Paul says, "But to the married, I, Paul, give instructions, not I, but the Lord, that the wife should not be separated from her husband." And then he has a parenthesis, "But if she does, she must remain demarried," which is the word agamos, "or else be reconciled to her husband, and that the husband should not divorce his wife. But to the rest I say, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her. And a woman who has an unbelieving husband and he consents to live with her, she must not send her husband away." Now, down in verse 15, "Yet if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace." Verse 27, "Are you bound to a wife?" That's in marriage. "Do not seek to be released." In other words, unbound through divorce. "Prepare your heart for this sermon. Don't use the Mosaic law for divorce." Let's pray. Father, I ask that the people here would be edified and built up, and that their minds will be given knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, discernment from your word that will guide lives and that will be an asset and beneficial in rightly understanding things in a stronger way concerning approaching your word, Father. This is one of my main things that I'm asking from you this morning, Lord, to have this understanding concerning various aspects of the Scripture, how to properly interpret and where to apply and what to apply. This is what I'm asking you. Help me to preach properly, correctly, rightly. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's important for us to know that God hates it when his people divorce. And he makes it clear in places like Malachi 2:16. And Jesus made it clear by explaining God's design for marriage from the beginning. And yet, God allowed for divorce in the Old Covenant Mosaic Law in Deuteronomy 24:1-4. It's going to be an important passage this morning. And Jesus made it clear as to why God allowed it in the Old Law. Jesus said it was because of the hardness of men's hearts. Now, basically, concerning that Deuteronomy 24, God gave a statute there which allowed grooms to divorce from their brides because of a perceived sexual defilement the groom thought he discovered at the time he was to consummate with the girl to seal the marriage. And this law statute, Deuteronomy 24:1-4, also protected the bride from being stoned to death if she was unable to prove she had not been immoral beforehand. Now, with us who are in the New Covenant, Ephesians 5 says Christian marriage is a picture of everlasting grace-filled faithfulness of Christ with his bride, his church. He will never divorce from you. And if you're truly saved, not a fake, then you will not divorce from him either. And so God's example of grace-filled continuance in this marriage picture is what he wants us as part of his design to have for human marriages. He designed marriage to last till death. But divorces happen. And in the pursuits of divorce, scriptures have been used to support it, some from the New Testament, some from the Old Testament, like Deuteronomy. And so when it comes to not using the Mosaic law for divorce, because it really is easy to seek to use it, and we're going to find this out, I want to get to how it can happen. And it's necessary to understand something about the Old Testament and New Testament as Bible sections in respect to the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. You know, we Christians are New Covenant people of God. And everything about the New Covenant has to do with the covenant instituted in Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. We know that. All of God's people are His people because of being in the New Covenant. That's us. And we have been given the progressive revelation for life in the Spirit written by the apostles and the New Covenant scribes. Their God-given lens of understanding is our guide to properly understand Scripture. They have the revelation. They are the disciplers. We are the disciples. We're getting it. And now we look through their lens, and when they explain things through the revelation they got, now we understand because we understand it the same way. So in your Bible, you find the New Testament section. And the New Testament section has New Covenant teachings. But everything in the New Testament section is not always teaching the New Covenant. You can find teachings in respect to the Mosaic Law Covenant in the New Testament section of your Bible. Some of them were directed toward the audience in those days who knew it as the covenant in existence and for keeping it. And this is prominent, this what I'm talking about, in the four Gospels. The first part of the four Gospels is a record of events and teachings that took place under and in the jurisdiction of the Old Covenant Mosaic Law. Very important for us to understand this. Now, when you look at the New Testament section of your Bible, that would be the whole back half of your Bible, when you open it up, the section after Malachi, Malachi being the last book in the Old Testament, you can find passages in the New Testament section that mention divorce, which are New Covenant-oriented passages. And that's what I read in 1 Corinthians 7 this morning. And you'll also find that Mark 10, 2 through 12, this is a gospel. Matthew is another one. Matthew 1, 9, Matthew 5, 31 through 32, and Matthew 19, 3 through 12 are texts which deal with divorce issues. You don't have to memorize these, and this is being recorded, but just know that I'm quoting now these from Mark, Matthew, particular gospel texts that have to do with divorce issues. And yet, and this is very important, those Matthew and Mark divorce passages are not New Covenant instructions. Okay, they are like the other examples that we find in the Gospels, which are not New Covenant oriented. Now remember, there are New Covenant-oriented passages. Jesus prophesies. He speaks of the covenant to come, speaks of principles in it. We also see that He establishes the New Covenant in His blood and resurrection, and that's still recorded in the Gospels. But these are more like what we find in Matthew 15, and it describes a Gentile woman seeking Jesus to heal her demon-possessed daughter. But the disciples wanted Jesus to tell her to leave. And what you find there is Jesus saying this, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, He said this concerning this woman. This is because this place in Matthew 15 shows an Old Covenant pre-cross teaching in Christ's ongoing ministry. See, this is near the beginning. But now in the New Covenant, Gentiles are a major ministry focus of the Lord. Not only the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but people from every tongue, tribe, and nation. And so when you see the passage, like in 19:3 of Matthew, it's dealing with divorce. And it says, "Some Pharisees came to Jesus testing Him and asking, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his woman for any reason at all?'" You should understand that the Old Covenant law was their concern. This is what they're going to banter with Jesus about. And those statutes held jurisdiction over Israel at that very moment, at that time. But now the statutes of the Old Covenant don't have any active jurisdiction, not any longer. But also, those questions to Jesus in Matthew 19:3 centered around two rabbinical schools of thought in respect to Deuteronomy 24. One was the view of Rabbi Shammai, the other was the view of Rabbi Hillel. And each of these guys made lists of what could constitute the basis for Old Covenant law divorce based on their opinion on the indecency citation in Deuteronomy 24. The indecency a man could claim he found in her as the reason to divorce. Shammai's followers were more restrictive than those of Hillel. But we're in Christ, and we're in His New Covenant school. He's our rabbi. So when we see those disputes about Mosaic law codes in our Bibles, we must understand that they're not something meant to control our actions. We're seeing good scripture. This is, we're supposed to know about these things. But this is something different in the way it's supposed to be taken in and internalized and used. Those disputes are meant for us to have as God's word. And yes, the Spirit wants us to have them as revelation of how Jesus understood the Old Covenant law. But the Spirit does not want you, does not want me to use their law regulations for what Christians must do. For us, God wants insights about the Old Covenant law to be filtered through the lens of proper interpretation that's fuller revelation, and it came over time, and it was given to men like Peter and James and Paul the Apostle especially, so much for Gentiles there, and John and all of this, and it happened over time. And this is called New Covenant Apostolic Revelation. Now, I want us to look at one of those Old Covenant records on divorce, Mark 10, 2 through 12. And please understand, this is a huge key in understanding God's word. It deals with divorce, yes, remember? But this is a huge quality teaching for, it's like a revelation for, wow, now I understand more about how to understand God's word. That's why this is so good. So if you go to Mark 10, 2 through 12, think of Jesus in his pre-cross ministry while in the Old Covenant law, it's still in effect in Mark 10, 2 through 12. And the Pharisees, the strictest Old Covenant law-keeping sect, they decide to test Jesus on divorce according to the law. And they ask Jesus, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Now Jesus asked them what the law said. And they quoted Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. To answer the question, Jesus pointed back to the beginning of creation way before divorce was allowed in Deuteronomy 24. And Jesus explained that God joins together his people in marriage, and divorce was never part of God's intended design. So Jesus said, therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Now, this is a principle that goes all the way back, and it goes all the way forward. Rabbi Jesus just taught them that the right way to understand marriage in respect to what they quoted in Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4, is that no man should separate the marriages of God's people through divorce. That it was because of the hardness of their hearts that Moses wrote that commandment. God had another purpose for Deuteronomy 24, which was not what they thought it was. And so we're going to take a look at Matthew 1, 18 through 20, and here's what we're going to see. We're going to see how the purpose of the law statute, Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4, was used by a certain man, and it reflects why God wanted it there. Now, in this situation, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was betrothed to Joseph, and the Holy Spirit impregnated her, but Joseph didn't understand. And so 18 through 20 says, when Jesus' mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, that's the consummation night for the next stage of the marriage, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her man Joseph, being a righteous man, just man, this means he followed the Mosaic law in what is being explained. That's the only way you can be called a righteous man under the Old Covenant. The standard is the Old Covenant law. It was law righteousness. That's what Paul teaches us all through his epistles. So her man Joseph, being a righteous man, remember what that means? According to the law, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, to understand this, back then, the strength of betrothal, according to the Mosaic law, was like a covenant of marriage. You can think of it as a pre-marriage marriage. And usually long periods of time would last between the betrothal and the actual marriage, usually a year or more. And then the actual wedding consisted simply in the groom going, getting the bride to take to the family home or a home that he had built to live in. Now, the two did not live together until that day. Sexual consummation occurred after bringing the bride to the home to become one flesh and solidifying the actual marriage. So betrothal, which is like a type of marriage, then to the actual marriage. And you can see premarital marriage as betrothal in places like Deuteronomy 22, 23 through 30. And it shows that a betrothed virgin is treated as the man's wife. And the strength of it is in Deuteronomy 22:28, talking about the strength of betrothal, showing that if a man fornicates with a virgin who is not betrothed, he must pay her father, and she will become his wife since he violated her. And it says he cannot divorce her all his days. He had to marry her because she was not betrothed. But according to chapter 22, verse 23, if she was betrothed to someone else already and willingly participated with the adulterous man, then both the man and she were to be stoned to death as adulterers. And this was because her engagement was a pre-consummation kind of marital covenant. And so Joseph and Mary were betrothed, and Joseph, Mary's fiancé, was not yet her husband at the time, but being betrothed, the bond was very similar because of the covenant strength of this engagement. And this is why it says Joseph and Mary had not come together in marriage yet. But why was Joseph called righteous in his actions to divorce Mary? To be righteous, Joseph would have had to be basing it in his actions strictly on adhering to the old covenant law on divorce. And in his divorce decision, the only way he could be this is seeking divorce during the betrothal period, treating his fiancée as if she had been impregnated by a forced act of fornication upon her by an unknown individual in rape. And the reason why this has to do, again, with Deuteronomy 24, and I know this is complicated, but this, like I said, this is recorded. You don't have to memorize it, just know this. Deuteronomy 24, with this stipulation, must agree with Deuteronomy 22. Must, and let me explain this. To obey the Old Covenant law statutes in Deuteronomy 22 with 24, Deuteronomy 22, 20 through 21 says that if a man discovers that his betrothed was not a virgin, typically on the night of consummation, she should be stoned to death. Now, how could Joseph be righteous according to the law by choosing not to stone Mary, who to everyone must not have been a virgin because she was pregnant? Because this is what it says in Deuteronomy 22, 20 through 21. Didn't matter that she and God knew she was still a virgin. Everyone else sees a pregnant woman. Well, the remedy for stoning was also in the Mosaic law in five more verses in Deuteronomy 22, 26. If the betrothed was raped, 22, 26 says, "You shall do nothing to the girl. There is no sin in the girl worthy of death. For just as a man rises against his neighbor and murders him, so is this case. Now she can be treated as a victim. But still, though letting Mary live by treating her as a rape victim, Joseph was still called righteous in his decision to divorce her, but not keep her. And this is because he used that famous Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 2 passage for men who are, or were, hard-hearted about finding indecency in their betrothed. And this is the one the Pharisees asked Jesus about. So I'm going to read Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 2 to you now, because I've been talking about it this whole time. So here we come. Here's what it says. You ready? Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 2. When a man takes a woman and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor, literally no grace, in his eyes, because he has found some indecency, that's the key word of Hillel and Shammai and those Pharisees that came to Jesus. But Jesus knew what it was. He knew what his intention was. He found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out from his house. So Joseph followed the law, yet was hardened in his heart to go to the next stage in marriage with Mary because of not favoring her in grace to be his wife. You know, this is the gritty details about the biblical characters, which are just real people, folks. Yet Joseph actually did show a certain sense of grace on Mary by treating her like she was a rape victim to avoid stoning her to death, according to Deuteronomy 22, 20 through 21. Stoning people to death was still practiced during the days of Jesus, as exemplified in John 8 and Acts 7 and other places, even outside the Bible. And then the route that Joseph chose kept him in law righteousness in divorcing Mary while saving her life. Joseph also sought not to shame Mary, since it says he sought it privately. But since Jesus said that the statute was given because of the hardness of men's heart, Joseph was still hard in his heart, which Jesus said was the reason for why this law was allowed anyway. Everything only changed when an angel told Joseph how Mary got pregnant. And then Joseph went on to keep Mary as his wife in the next stage of committed marriage. And this whole situation is going to help us understand the next two Old Covenant passages in Matthew. They contain what is famously called in theology the Matthean exception clause. Matthean means Matthew. The exception clause of Matthew. And it's in Matthew 5, 31 through 32, and it's in Matthew 19, 3 through 12. And the teachings in both passages revolve around this controversial law statute of Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. So at Matthew 5, 31 through 32, Jesus is teaching with his disciples. It's the Sermon on the Mount, so you can get that kind of in your mind. He's teaching the disciples, which, by the way, the scriptures say he was teaching the disciples. He wasn't teaching the crowds, as the movies show. The crowds came in to listen to him and the disciples, which the Gospels also describe, if you read the Gospels. So then Jesus said, "It was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of fornication, which is the Greek word porneia, makes her commit adultery, which is the Greek word moicheia." Jesus is making a distinction. "And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery, moicheia." So Jesus gave the exception, this is called the exception clause, for divorce being for a form of fornication. Now, fornication is sexual sin outside of marriage. Fornication was the only reason why a woman could remarry and her remarriage not be considered adultery. But adultery, on the other hand, is always sexual sin with someone who is married. And this is also exactly what's found in Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4 explains that when a betrothed divorces his bride because of not having grace and respect to finding decency, she can go, she can marry another man. But to divorce wrongly, as Jesus explained, which is for any other reason like those of the rabbinical schools were interpreting, and then she married someone else afterward, her later marriage would be adultery instead of a new marriage, which is also according to Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. And further, Jesus said the groom who divorced her is the one who makes her commit adultery if she remarries later. And further, anyone who marries her is also committing adultery. Why is it this way? Well, Jesus knew what his heavenly Father knows and what his earthly half-father Joseph knew, because remember, this happened with his half-father Joseph and his mother Mary, that Deuteronomy 24 could only be properly understood by the restrictions of Deuteronomy 22. Folks, that is a huge revelation for you. It's a huge revelation. I wish more people would teach that. Now I'm going to explain more in looking at Matthew 19:9 now. In Matthew 19:9, the Pharisees were testing Jesus on the same understanding of Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4, and they asked Jesus, "Well, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all?" Interesting wording. It's a good question because the way the rabbis started redefining indecency was with a list of what they wanted it to be, their own reasons. Their reasons were wrong. So Jesus gave the right answer. Matthew 19, 4 through 9 goes like this. First, Jesus answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife and the two shall become one flesh." So they're no longer two, but one flesh. So right there, Jesus lays out the foundation. But then he said, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." So they pressed Jesus on this law statute saying, "Why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away?" And this is when Jesus said, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning hasn't been this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for fornication, again, porneia, and marries another woman commits adultery, moicheia." So Jesus answered with the same fornication reason being the only reason that the law meant, which is also the only way re-betrothal and consummation in marriage could occur without committing adultery. What Jesus was revealing to everyone that evidently had fallen through the cracks over time, was lost in terms of knowledge, is that divorce according to Deuteronomy 22 and 24, because they have to work together, it's all the law, was only allowed for a certain fornication issue, but not for an adultery issue. Why? Because according to the law, adultery resulted in execution. And so Jesus purposely distinguished fornication as something different from adultery in delineating the two terms. And by the way, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, he consistently showed Jesus making this differentiation in both Matthew 5, 31 through 32, and Matthew 19, 3 through 12. But there's one more place that Matthew shows Jesus making this distinction. It's Matthew 15, 19. And Jesus said there that out of the heart come adulteries, moicheia, and also fornications, plural, porneia. Because there's many different kinds of fornication. So Matthew shows that Jesus made his fornication from adultery distinction in all those recorded dialogues. Jesus' main revelation to the Pharisees was this, that what God joins together in marriage, it's not to be torn apart by divorce, and that whoever divorces his wife except for fornication, a certain fornication, is divorcing wrongly, and that rape, the fornication imposed on the victim, is the reason for Deuteronomy 24 based on Deuteronomy 22 when a man's heart remains hardened. Then that's what he does. But further, if the fiancé divorces his betrothed for any reason other than rape and marries another woman, he commits adultery because the divorce was not in accord with Deuteronomy 22 and 24. The remarriage would be adultery since it's an invalid divorce based on wrongly using the law. So Jesus showed that he knew more than either Rabbi Shammai or Rabbi Hillel concerning the issue. And of course, this didn't fix the problem that occurs in nature, where occasionally the hymens of some virgin girls can be broken, though they have never had sexual intercourse. Now, we can only imagine the weight of the burden of proof on the part of such an old covenant virgin in asserting that she had remained pure. But now we can understand that the law statute was actually meant to protect the bride in the long run, even in cases of doubt about what happened to her, and for her to be able to remarry someone who should love her with a softened heart. Jesus' big point was that if you don't forgive, it's out of the hardness of your heart. So here's what to do. When you see these old covenant teachings in the Gospels, recognize you're an observer. That's what we are. We're looking at actions and disputes, you know, these confrontations that happened with Jesus. They had to do with the Jewish old covenant Mosaic codes. They were not only, listen, they were not trying to learn from Jesus. They just wanted to get his opinion because they were trying to trap him and attack him. But understand, these things are not meant for us to implement the old law, right? Understand that you are called to live in Christ's new and better covenant with guidance from revelation like 1 Corinthians 7, 10 through 15 with verse 27 on divorce, which I'm going to get into some more next week, by the way. And further, know that God has manifested his grace love for you when it comes to issues like fornication. God has grace and adultery and divorce. God has grace in this area. He has lots of grace in his son, Christ Jesus, and that's what our covenant is. So seek God's word, but seek God's word rightly handled and use these tools that you're learning to help discern various things that you approach in Scripture. Amen? We're going to go more into 1 Corinthians 7 next week. Lots of insights, lots of revelation, mind-blowing stuff, in my opinion.